Hello, everyone, and welcome into CrushTheStreet.com. I got a returning guest on the line with me today, Alex Newman of The New American. He's an editor there, chief editor, founder, and also thelibertysentinel.org. You can check him out there. He's also a contributor of the Epoch Times and somebody who is really out there spreading truth. And as you know, with the mainstream media lying and covering up information and with a serious agenda of manipulating and controlling people, people want information and they're seeking other news outlets that just want to cover what is actually going on and not making these statements based on lies, basically. I mean, the calling of the election of some of these states, again, by these news outlets, my goodness, they're not covering the facts. There's real court cases happening right now. And you're not seeing that on the mainstream media. You're hearing about the transition of Biden to the presidency, like it's a foregone conclusion that election fraud didn't happen. So to discuss all of that today, we have Alex Newman on the line. Alex, thanks for coming back on the show with me today.
It's great to be with you. Thank you very much for having me, Kenneth.
So if Biden wins this presidency, I mean, he would have won with more than 15 million more votes than President Obama had. I mean, this is a guy that didn't have 10 people in his rallies, but so many anomalies. We can go down the list. Sean Hannity did a great job of making it very simple last night in his summary, just one after another. The bellwether counties that called the election for previous presidents, 18 of them. Trump won those, but yet he lost this election. Ohio and Florida, he won both of those states, but then, you know, would be losing this election. And it's all in the key swing states. So many anomalies. But, you know, I think the facts are on our side, but I think a lot of us are just, are we defeated? Is corruption so bad that it just doesn't matter what's real and what's obvious?
Well, those are all important questions. And I do feel like positive things are happening. It does look terrible from the perspective of watching the establishment media. And I very much include Fox News there. I've considered Fox News to be controlled opposition all along. In fact, probably more dangerous than the regular fake news, because regular people know the regular fake news is fake news. But a lot of people naively trusted Fox News because there was a little bit more truth there than there was on, say, CNN or ABC or the Washington Compost. But I think those media outlets are being discredited. If you look at Fox News's ratings, they are absolutely imploding, even though Google is pushing it, even though Facebook is pushing it, Twitter is pushing it. And yet the outlets that are being censored, outlets like the New American Magazine, which has been covering the fraudulent election from the start. In fact, we've been predicting that exactly what we're seeing now was what was going to happen. And we've been doing that since 1985, predicting what was going to happen correctly. And Facebook is censoring us. Twitter is censoring us. YouTube is censoring us. And yet numbers are through the roof. Same thing with the Epoch Times. Same thing with my personal website, libertysentinel.org. Traffic is just exploding, despite all the censorship. And that's because there is an enormous number of Americans who are seeking truth. If you even look at the fake media's polling data, it shows that something like half of the nation believes the election was stolen. Now, if we're generous and say they probably use the same methodology that they used to tell us that Hillary Clinton was going to win in a landslide and that Biden was going to absolutely crush Trump, we got to figure we're probably looking at 60, 70, maybe even 80% of Americans, including a lot of liberals, incidentally, realize that this election was rigged. So I don't think it's over. I don't think they're going to be able to get away with this, not in the sense that they're thinking. They're not just going to be able to put Biden in there and, you know, have a fake return to normalcy. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Alex, from what you're seeing, what is the linchpin? I mean, what are the court cases, if any, if you're familiar with some of the specifics that you believe will be able to turn this election around? Because there's obviously a lot of allegations out there. And, you know, when you listen to Giuliani, you can't go after some of the small stuff because that wouldn't have a material change. But what are some of the things that you're seeing as to, hey, this is probably what's going to do it?
Well, I think the lawsuits filed by Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood, I think these are absolutely explosive. They're packed with evidence. In fact, I've gone through some of these affidavits, people who were eyewitnesses to the creation of these softwares. You had one guy from Venezuela who, under penalty of perjury, swore that they literally created this technology, this software, for the purpose of rigging elections. It was never even supposed to be a commercial venture. That was just kind of window dressing. The purpose of it was to help the dictator of Venezuela, Hugo Chavez, rig the election. Then we have Dominion voting system, same thing. There was another affidavit filed by somebody who came out of the intelligence world. New York Times described him as the smartest person in the room, just going through point by point how this election was rigged using Dominion voter system, voting systems, and some of these other election technology providers. I think at this point, the evidence is absolutely overwhelming. The fake media is just having to blatantly lie. You know, after Trump's legal team gave that press conference, they sat there for 2 hours, were reading out of sworn affidavits, and then the fake media comes out and says, they offered no evidence of vote fraud. Excuse me, someone needs to consult the dictionary and look up the definition of evidence. And a sworn affidavit is the very essence of evidence. In fact, it's some of the most powerful evidence you can have. Sworn eyewitness testimony under penalty of perjury. The person making those claims, if they're found to be lying, could be thrown in prison. That is gold standard evidence, and it's being filed all over the place. There's also several other routes. A lot of people have been saying, Larry Klayman has been saying, for example, that the courts are too corrupt. They're blackmailing the judges. The judges are part of the deep state. That may be true, but you can only ignore reality for so long. The truth is getting out despite the censorship. And so even if the courts are not a viable option to overturn the fraud, there are other possibilities as well. One of those would be for these Republican states, these Republican legislatures. The Constitution in Article 2, Section 1 says that state legislatures decide who's going to go to the Electoral College, not the fake media, not Joe Biden, you know, the fake president-elect. Not the governors of these states, not even the secretaries of state who are elected with Soros money. The ones who decide ultimately are the state legislatures, and they can take that power back anytime they want in Pennsylvania, in Arizona, in Georgia, in Wisconsin, in Michigan. All these states have Republican legislatures. So there are multiple options that could be pursued. And you know, General McInerney, we interviewed him at The New American recently. He just did an incredibly explosive interview with my friend Brandon Howes of Worldview Weekend. They brought in General Flynn. And they talked about how serious the stakes were. And actually, you know, as a last resort, General McInerney, this was one of the third highest ranking official in the U.S. Air Force. He's retired now, but he has been exposing since before the election the Central Intelligence Agency's involvement in this vote rigging. And what he said most recently is that if these other avenues are closed, we might have to have a situation where the president invokes the Insurrection Act and puts down what appears to be a communist revolution. So hopefully it will never come to that. But I think no matter which way this goes, I mean, if they try to install a phony president who obviously won by fraud, that's not going to go over with the American people. I mean, really, who is going to accept that? You have governors all across this country. You have legislatures across this country that will never bow down to a phony president and his unconstitutional edicts. So no matter which way this goes, I think it's going to be turbulent. But I do think Trump still has multiple trajectories to victory. And we'll have to see what happens in the next few weeks. But whatever does happen in the next few weeks, I think is going to be incredibly important in setting the direction of this country for years and maybe decades to come.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly some important happenings, events taking place this week. I'm looking forward to seeing how they progress. I guess the concern is that there's a lot of weak Republicans in the government at the moment. And I understand, you know, because I've talked to other Americans out there, and it's just like, I don't want to believe, even Republicans, I don't want to believe that we've seen corruption to this degree. It's such blatant disrespect, and this couldn't happen here in the U.S. And if it does get to that point, my goodness, what a meltdown we'll actually see in government, and what are the implications of that meltdown? I think a lot of people are worried about that. And I think a lot of Republicans in government are worried about the breakdown of our system, you know, if it really came down to that. And so I'm almost wondering if just to avoid those problems, like a war at the highest level in the world, they might just let this go, sweep it under the rug.
It's a possibility. In fact, there are many, the term rhino came into being for a reason. There are so-called Republicans all across this nation, including in conservative states, who are really Republicans in name only. They're really Democrats pretending to be Republicans. In some states like Wyoming, it's well known that Democrats who want to get elected run as Republicans because there's no other way for them to be elected, because the people of those states would never vote for a Democrat who was openly identified as a Democrat. We've got a lot of those. We've got a lot of them in Congress. We've got a lot of them in governor's offices. We've got a lot of them in state legislatures. And you're right. I think there is the potential for this to turn into a civil war. In fact, I think the deep state, the elites, would very much like to see that. It would really be kind of the finishing act of the United States, which has been this kind of big obstacle in the way of this, their plan for a globalist, technocratic new world order for a long time. Now, yes, they've harnessed part of the power of our government to advance this agenda, but the principles that the United States are founded upon are really incompatible with the principles that they want to move forward. The idea that God created us all equally, the idea that God endowed each of us with inalienable rights, the idea that we created a government to protect these God-given rights. I mean, the founding fathers said these things were self-evident truths. And you can't have a technocratic, globalist, new world order where self-government is eliminated, where free speech is eliminated, where private property rights are eliminated, and still have those ideas lingering along. So a civil war would very nicely take care of that, implode the United States, discredit those ideas that this nation was founded on, including, of course, firearm ownership, which I think is one of the very significant obstacles in their path. So that's a real risk. And I do think there are elements of the deep state, if not the whole deep state, that would very much like to see a civil war in the United States. I pray and I hope that it never comes to that. However, we have to be clear that we cannot surrender our nation on a platter to totalitarians because we're not willing to endure the hardships that may come as a result of fighting for our system. I think to surrender to Joe Biden and say, yeah, we know you're an illegitimate president. We know that you won through blatant, in-your-face, obvious vote fraud. But in the interest of not having a civil war and continuing to go on as we've been going on, we're going to just pretend like you're the president. We're just going to go along with this. That would be a fatal mistake. That would be essentially ensuring that we would never have another free and fair election ever again. Once they get away with a vote fraud operation like the one that we saw in 2020, if they're allowed to continue, they will make sure that not only will they never be held accountable for the fraud, but that we can never free ourselves using the electoral process again. We have got to nip that in the bud. It is completely intolerable. And there is no situation, there is no circumstance under which I can imagine that being a legitimate option to just say, okay, we surrender in the interest of preserving the peace. That would be the end of our constitutional republic. It would be the end of our freedom. It would be the end of our constitutional system and our God-given rights. And we can't accept that.
Interesting what you said about Wyoming Democrats having to run as Republicans. Now, if we do see this go through and the fraud take over, you would almost see the opposite of that happen, where Republicans would have to start running as Democrats. So the goalpost is moving more and more liberal for the Republicans to ever have a chance. Now, if corruption is the name of the game, is that what both sides are going to start doing to, you know, find some sort of equilibrium? Because in the end, I mean, it may take a decade, it may take, you know, who knows how long, eventually equilibrium finds its way into the system. And what does that mean going forward here? And, you know, you have what, 11 million plus illegal immigrants that the Democrats want to legalize. Again, nothing against people, but I mean, there's a problem when you incentivize, I'm going to use quotes, bad behavior, and don't protect the work that's being put in to make our country what it is, the productivity aspect of the country, making all these other territories, states, and packing the courts. I mean, all of these things that would just seemingly destroy our republic. I mean, we're really unraveling quickly here, Alex.
Yeah, that's exactly what they plan to do, Kenneth. They've made that very, very clear. In fact, George Soros funded this fake bipartisan operation called the Transition Integrity Project. They call it bipartisan because they brought in a couple of neocon, far-left, never-Trump rhinos like Max Boot of the Council on Foreign Relations, William Kristol, the former editor of the bankrupt neocon journal Weekly Standard. They said, oh, look, some Republicans, at least former Republicans, we'll call this bipartisan. And they had four different scenarios that they examined. They kind of war-gamed them out. And the only scenario in which Trump actually won the election was the fourth. And even then they said, oh, he didn't win the popular vote. So what we're going to demand in exchange for letting you take the White House again is abolishing the Electoral College, turning Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico into states. They're going to send out their terror mobs into the streets, the Antifa, I call them Pantifa, the Black Lives Matter Marxist organization, to set Democrat cities on fire. That's what they're planning to do. And they have been very clear that they want to turn America into a one-party state. You mentioned legalizing the illegal immigrants. They know that just from polling data, the overwhelming majority of those will vote for Democrats, at least until they come to realize what that means. And they've been very clear that they want to pack the Supreme Court. They've been very clear that they want to make it so that they will never lose power again. They want to turn the United States basically into a replica of the failed state that is California, which is on the verge of bankruptcy, which is losing population very, very quickly, where taxes are going sky high, where infrastructure is crumbling, where homelessness is exploding, where you can't even keep the electricity on anymore, and we're going to mandate electric cars. I mean, that's what they want for the entire United States, and they want to completely neutralize forever, completely destroy any opposition, any Republican Party. They talk about legalizing 11 million immigrants. They know very, very well that there's probably 30 or more million illegal immigrants in this country. And they know that if they can get them all eligible to vote, it would be almost impossible for Republicans to win national elections based on the current paradigm where Republicans are standing, at least ostensibly, for smaller government, less taxes, limited government, gun rights, and things like that. So that's what's at stake here. This is an existential threat to the nation, to the Republic, and it absolutely cannot be allowed to continue. Now, with that said, Kenneth, I do believe that if somehow they manage to inaugurate this fake president in 2021, I think they're going to see resistance like we have never seen before, maybe since the Civil War. And the Democrats actually led the way, and I give them credit for that. They did it wrongly. They did it lawlessly, and they don't deserve credit for that. They should be ashamed of that. But take the issue of sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. We have a federalist system of government. The states that created the federal government as their agent delegated a few defined powers to that federal government. One of those powers was the power to secure our borders, the power to run the naturalization immigration system. And the liberals don't like that because they want infinite illegal immigrants so they can stay in power indefinitely by promising to give out more free stuff. Well, Republicans should take note, right? You have in Colorado, in California, you have Democrat-controlled states just flagrantly violating federal law. Now, when those federal laws are unconstitutional, like a prohibition on marijuana, fine. You know, I don't think you ought to be probably smoking pot, but you know, if you're a liberal state and you want to do that, be my guest. Federal laws against drug prohibition are unconstitutional based on our current constitution, so I'm fine with them doing that. Now, Republican states need to do the same thing. If by some crazy turn of events, Biden is inaugurated and he says, hey, I'm going to make good on my promise to come take your AR-14s. Every Republican state needs to say, hey, first of all, we don't have any AR-14s. Second of all, there is no such thing as AR-14s. Third of all, even if there was a such thing as AR-14s, under no circumstances are you disarming a single person in our jurisdiction. And in fact, if you send some of your clowns down here to try to disarm our citizens, they will go straight to county jail. They will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law as criminals, as looters, as rioters, as murderers, if somebody is killed in the process, and they will sit in state prison for the next 50 years. And I think that would put a stop to that very quickly. That's what the founding fathers said was the rightful remedy to these kinds of abuses. And so Republican states need to become sanctuaries for unborn babies, for gun rights, for free speech, for religious liberty, for not having to wear idiotic diapers on your face and all the rest of it, Kenneth.
Yeah. Going back to both sides here, the election fraud and what's going on, when it comes to one side using the other person's own information, their own words against them, people like to do that, right? You know, if it's Sean Hannity, he likes to pull out the New York Times saying that mail-in ballots are a bad idea. You know, they said that years and years ago, but now obviously they don't do that. But the left likes to use Fox News as their opposition, like, look what Fox News is saying for all you conservatives out there. But going back to, you know, Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, a lot of these people, after watching them, I'm watching them more closely now, looking for any type of information that's covering what's going on. They're kind of separating themselves. You'll hear them say, you know, we vet our own information on this show. We hope you trust us on this show without, you know, blatantly disparaging their channel. I almost wonder if there's going to be a divide, you know, if Newsmax is going to get big enough or OAN is going to get big enough to be able to pay these people a big enough salary. And we're going to see a complete divergence of some of these people who I think are wanting to cover truth, but may be associated with the wrong network.
Yeah, I think that's already happening, Kenneth. As we talked about earlier, the numbers for Fox News are just in a cataclysmic tailspin. I mean, they're below CNN now, which how do you even do that? I mean, Ancient Aliens does better than CNN at prime time. How do you get worse than CNN? That is, I mean, just the height of embarrassment. They've lost more viewers since this, you know, trying to sell us the election fraud than MSNBC and some of these others had to begin with. That's how serious the collapse of these entities has been. And I think that's a good thing. I think we're going to see a drastic reshaping of the media landscape, and the controlled opposition voices are now being exposed. Now, I've known Fox News and News Corporation itself has been controlled opposition all along. News Corporation was a corporate member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Rupert Murdoch was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. His son, James, is still a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. So are a whole bunch of the members of the board, a whole bunch of their fake journalists. These are members of the most prominent deep state organization in the United States. That's why they never talk about globalism. They don't expose the election fraud. They don't talk about the issues that really matter. Yeah, you'll get more truth on Fox News than you will on the other ones, because you wouldn't be very effective controlled opposition if you didn't give a little bit more truth. Nobody would believe you on anything. So they've got to do that. The same thing is true with the Wall Street Journal and with the New York Post. Yeah, you get more truth in those publications than you would in the New York Times or the Washington Post, but that's because it wouldn't be effective controlled opposition if they didn't give more truth. It's very much like rat poison, Kenneth. You know, when you have rats and you want to get rid of rats, if you were just to just put out pure poison, the rats wouldn't touch it with a 100-foot pole. What you've got to do is you've got to conceal the poison inside delicious rat food. And so what organizations like Fox News do is they'll give you a little bit of truth, right? And then inside that truth, they'll conceal the poisonous poison, right? What's going to end up killing you. And that is the problem with Fox News. And I think they believed that, hey, as long as Fox News is the one that calls Arizona for Biden, as long as Fox News is the one that says Biden is the president-elect, then Trump supporters will believe us and we'll be able to get away with this deal. Well, they miscalculated in a dramatic way. Not only did they not believe Fox News, they said, hey, you guys are part of the cabal. We don't want to watch that. We're not going to, you know, spend our time watching your fake propaganda. So, you know, One America News now is surging. I think that's wonderful. I've been on One America News. The people who work there are great. They're hardworking. Same thing with Newsmax. I've been on Newsmax. They're a great channel. You know, none of them are perfect, but nobody's perfect. But they're certainly providing a whole lot more truth than Fox News or any of the others. And that's a good thing. And there's also talk of a new entity coming out, maybe potentially affiliated with Trump himself, that would be kind of a tool to bypass. And you have a surge in alternative publications. I mentioned all the publications that I'm affiliated with. I write for, you know, probably at least 5 or 6 different publications on a regular basis now. They are all surging during this time, even though they're being censored like never before. It's because there's an enormous market in the United States for truth, for content that is accurate, that is relevant. And people will find that despite Google's best efforts to conceal it. And those are going to end up being the winners once the dust all settles through this mess.
Absolutely. Well, that's amazing. You know, one of the things that I hear from Democrats or liberals, people that hate Trump, is you don't understand how much people hate Trump. That's why Biden got so many votes. And Trump got a record amount of votes, which is another thing that liberals, again, without facts, like to say, well, I believe that there was cheating. Look how many votes Trump got. You know what I mean? They'll throw out some sort of, you know, something like that that's supposed to negate, you know, all the questioning that's going on with Biden, except there's real evidence against Biden. No one's signing affidavits saying that there was election fraud against Trump. But I mean, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, Trump getting that many votes amidst a pandemic. Are there more people voting in 2020? And, you know, why? Or is it because it's on our Facebook page and it's Facebook's telling us to go vote?
Yeah, I think one of the reasons why Trump had such enormous support and still does is because people sense that they're losing their country. People sense that they're losing their freedoms. People sense that we're heading into very difficult, very bizarre times, and they want to resist. And, you know, a lot of people who love Trump don't necessarily love Trump because they love all his policy positions or because they agree with him on every issue. I disagree with Trump on some very significant issues, and I've spoken publicly about it. I've criticized him on many things, including signing all these crazy bills coming out of Congress, spending, you know, gargantuan amounts of money. These are legitimate criticisms of the president. However, he is the only one who has very publicly stood up and said, hey, there's a criminal elite in this country. They want to steal your nation. They want to destroy everything that is good about this nation. And I'm going to stand in the way on your behalf. And, you know, there are some people that still live in the bubble. I call it, you know, the media bubble, where they look at what the television is broadcasting, the news stations are broadcasting, and they take it seriously. They believe it's reality. But I believe this is a small minority, maybe even a fringe. And I think that fringe is getting smaller and smaller. What we saw in the 2016 election was that the more the fake media attacked Donald Trump, the more people gravitated toward Donald Trump. In fact, that was one of the things that convinced me he was the real deal, because if he was controlled opposition, there would have been a lot of favorable coverage. And they would say, yeah, he's kind of right wing, but, you know, at least he's OK. But the unhinged hatred for the president, I think, led a lot of people who are tired of the lunacy to say, hey, he must be legit. He must be the real deal. And I'll look past the differences that I have with the president to support him. I don't believe for a second that Joe Biden got the number of votes that they claimed. And I think it's probably very realistic, as Sidney Powell and others have said, that Trump got millions more votes than he's being given credit for. That means he's gotten more votes than any person ever in American history. I think that is almost certainly what happened. And I think the reason is there's a massive awakening in the United States. People are realizing what's happening. They're realizing they're being deceived, and they want to save their country.
Absolutely. Yeah, it'll be a significant moment if we do see Joe Biden, and then the legalization of 11 to 30 million illegal immigrants. And my goodness, the reciprocity that those people will feel towards the Democrats for years is going to be a hard uphill battle to fight. And again, it goes down to the policies. I mean, you know, the policies of the Democrats is just full throttle big government, full throttle on abortion. I mean, what's going on with Colorado and these, you know, the babies that can be killed after it's born? I mean, why does the goalpost keep moving on the abortion issue? Maybe there's an argument to be made that, you know, if it's the baby's 6 weeks old or something like that. But I mean, you know, and obviously there's a moral argument there and spiritual one as well. But I mean, at what point do you just say, hey, this is wrong, you know? And so maybe some closing thoughts there, Alex, as just the direction we're heading as a country, and just, you know, what we should be framing our minds towards to fight for this country.
Yeah, you know, I think what we're seeing now very clearly, and it's just become blatant in the last 8 or 10 years or so, is that degeneracy has not just taken root in the Democrat Party, it's completely taken over the Democrat Party. They have now chased out, I think, every single last openly pro-life Democrat from their national party. There are no more pro-life Democrats in Congress, as I understand it, because they insisted that you can't be pro-life and a Democrat at the same time. That is evidence to me of a depraved mind, that you have to support murdering babies to be part of this party. And it's not just that. I mean, you take every element of moral truth that people have an innate understanding of, right? We all understand God gave us a conscience. We all understand it's wrong to murder. We all understand it's wrong to steal. We all understand it's wrong to covet and to lie. And those have now become the institutional positions of the Democrat Party, and unfortunately, a big swath of the Republican Party. And we see that in the public too. You know, I've been saying for many years now, the public school system is the root of these problems, because they're training up and brainwashing children to completely abandon moral principles, to hate their families, to hate God, to hate their own country. Of course, it's all based on lies. It's all based on manipulation, but that's what's happening. And I think the only way we're going to be able to successfully turn this around is by having an awakening in terms of the fact that we're being lied to, but also coming back to proper morality, coming back to an understanding that murder is wrong, stealing is wrong, lying is wrong. You know, these basic moral principles that every person should understand and innately does understand in their heart. You know, they have to suppress the fact that these things are wrong to go out and promote them. So we do need a return to morality. We do need a return to constitution, to the rule of law, to a proper understanding of the really the sacred nature of our individual rights, our free speech, our religious liberty. I mean, these are non-negotiable principles. And I think the only way we're going to save this nation long-term is dealing with the education crisis. That's why I've made it such a focus of my work. We have got to, you know, starting with parents, you've got to protect your children. And that means in most cases, getting them out of the public school system, putting them in a good homeschool, a good private school, a Christian school, whatever you need to do. I think long-term, that's what we're going to have to do. But short-term, it is critical that we expose this fraud, that we stop the steal. We just put out a cover story in the New American magazine. People can get that at thenewamerican.com. Lots of information there that you can share, action ideas, what you can do to get involved. And I do hope that people will get involved. You know, now is not the time anymore to sit back and watch television or watch YouTube and think, you know, I'll let them do the heavy lifting. Everybody's got to get involved now. And the stakes are about as high as they could be. I mean, if we lose these battles, we're going to lose our nation. We're going to lose our freedoms. And what are you going to say to your children? What are you going to say to your grandchildren that you stood around and did nothing? I hope not. I hope you will get involved right now. In fact, I wish you would have gotten involved 5 years ago, but now is better than never. So, you know, please, and I don't say it in a condescending way at all, but we need all hands on deck right now if we're going to save our country and our freedoms.
Alex, thank you so much for coming on the show with me today. Appreciate your time and your expertise on this and an update, because again, it's hard to find this sort of information just with your typical Google searches and finding it on Facebook with constant censoring and controlling of the agenda. So again, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me, Kenneth. Always a pleasure.